Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to P.S. I Hate This Movie, a podcast where we take a realistic look into the unrealistic world of romantic comedies. I'm your host, Sarah Hunt.
And my name is James Petragallo. Welcome to a special brand of hell this week.
Yes, this is a different circle.
I don't know what you, this was punishment. I don't know what I did to deserve this week. This was, I know you had to sit through it too, but still, this, I didn't know this movie existed, so I would have never thought of this for myself.
You did know it existed.
This is a mess.
If this is your first week with us, welcome. If this is not your first week with us, welcome back. We thank you so much for being here with us to relive these tales in painful and excruciating detail.
I hope you didn't watch this movie and you're just going to hear about a bad movie for your sake. I hope you've never seen this movie. I really
Everyone
hope so.
Loves this movie. It's
no one
so
loves
good.
This movie.
Thank you so much for your Apple Podcast reviews, for your Patreon donations, just for being you in general.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We also do Patreon, where we patreon.com/YouGotHeigled. We do bonus episodes every other week. We play games. We talk 90 Day Fiancé.
All sorts of stuff. It's
All
a variety.
Sorts of
it's a
stuff.
Grab bag. What's the address for that? How can they
Patreon.com/YouGotHeigled. Were you not paying attention?
Well, how do you spell that?
Oh, God. Okay, fine. YOUGOTHEIGLD.
There you go.
No, so the Patreon episode for next week, we're going to do a bonus episode next week, and we will do some relationship advice, I guess.
Yeah, people have been asking us for some reason. I don't know why.
People ask us, and also we seem to give just such great advice to people on reality shows, specifically 90 Day Fiance, also like Below Deck. We're constantly throwing out our useless advice to people who cannot hear us, so we might as well try to throw out some advice to people who can.
What the hell, why not?
So yeah, just email us at yougotheigled@gmail.com or reach out on social media. I'll go over all the details if you're interested at the end, but just reach out to us on social media and ask us your relationship advice question, and I mean, we're just really gonna give you the best advice we can.
It'll be mean, probably. And
more than likely.
Yeah, but you'll enjoy
and
it.
Remember, we're not professionals.
But it will be what you need to hear. That's the thing. Might not be what you want to hear, but it's going to be what you need to hear.
Yeah. So if you've got red flags and you're just wanting to figure out if you should trust your gut instinct, we'll be your friends. Okay. Last week, James, we watched your favorite movie, Head Over Heels.
Yeah, I don't even remember that
Freddie
one compared
Prince
to this.
Jr. and Monica Potter, which James kept calling Molly Parker.
All I remember is them watching Freddie Prinze take a shit. This movie wiped everything I've ever known. I don't remember. I don't know my division tables anymore. Like multiplication tables? I just said division tables. See what I mean?
I was just thinking
this
about...
This movie wiped me clean.
I was just thinking about the casual diarrhea.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wiped you clean. It cleaned your bowels.
This movie is a mess.
This week we watched James's new favorite movie, A Cinderella Story.
It has Cinderella in the title too.
Okay. Yeah, it's called A Cinderella Story.
It's like if you mix Cinderella, Grease, and a Bugs Bunny cartoon
into a
film, and a bit of Carrie as well for that one scene. Yeah, a bit of that in there as well. This is what you get. Is this disaster of a movie?
Yeah. So James, we're approaching our 50th episode.
We are.
We are approaching it. I was thinking about doing Grease too. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's the way to go.
All right.
Yeah, Grease too. We need
so
to
for our 50th episode, we're going to do Grease too.
We need to find out what happened and close that series out.
Yeah, we need to really close it out. Isn't there three?
I don't think so. Maybe.
But I know that there is a Grease Live.
Yeah, that's...
And we need to watch
that's
that.
A disaster, but you're stalling because you don't even want to talk about this.
No, I really do want to talk about this because this movie is hilarious. Okay, A Cinderella Story, 2004, 1 hour, 35 minutes, just under our threshold of what we can deal with.
It doesn't matter.
I just told James that we've been doing some short run times here, and we're going to have to start watching some of the longer run times so that we can at least make the short run times spread.
This didn't feel like an hour 35. This felt like
6 hours.
This felt really long. Yeah. Some of them feel like, well, at least it went by quick. This did not go by quick.
No.
I checked the how much time was left a dozen times in this movie.
The IMDb, nope.
There you
Damn
go.
It. I was doing Almost. So good. The IMDb description. Routini.
It's a routini. I'll have the routini tonight. I'm going to have the routini. And I'm going to have the marinara sauce. It's going to be lovely. It's a lovely marinara on the routini.
Reset. The IMDb description.
Yeah, there you go.
Routinely exploited by her wicked stepmother, the downtrodden Samantha Montgomery is excited about the prospect of meeting her internet beau at the school's Halloween dance.
All right, that happened.
It
Fair
happened.
Enough. And her mom, she was evil, but she wasn't, like, evil.
Yeah.
Like, if they were going to modernize Cinderella, Cinderella's stepmother would have been selling her into, like, the sex trade.
Oh, my God.
Who would have been selling her as, like, an object.
No.
That's what Cinderella's mother would have. Because they used her for labor, but they would have been like, well, we could sell her. She's a blonde girl. We could probably sell her for a lot. What? I'm sorry. If there's a black market, I think Hillary Duff would probably fetch a penny on the market, is
you
what
think?
I'm saying. I do. Not that other people wouldn't, but I just think they'd be like, where the hell did they get this one? You know? So, I'm just saying, if there was a... That's what her stepmother would really do. She would have sold Hillary into the international sex slavery business. I feel like Hillary would have been...
No.
Chained to a basement in like a sheik's palace somewhere in Dubai.
Let me get the tagline.
No?
Okay. The tagline is, once upon a time can happen anytime.
Yeah.
Your fairy tale can be anytime.
Oh, okay. Sure.
That's what it is. Okay.
even now in this fucking movie, why not?
The fun fact, there's really not that many fun facts. They were all really boring. I guess Hillary Duff said that Cinderella was her favorite Disney princess, which it's like, if
Who
you're
cares?
Being offered a role in a movie and they're like, hey, it's going to be about Cinderella. And she's like, she's my fave.
Yeah.
Of course. Even if you said this was going to be a Snow White piece, you'd be like, Snow White, love her.
You give someone Captain America, they go, he's always been my favorite.
Yeah.
He never picked up a comic book.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Okay. But anyway, one of them is that Jennifer Coolidge, the stepmom, she had to tape her fake nails down because she's allergic to glue.
Okay.
I thought that was interesting.
Fair enough. She's always good.
Oh,
and
she's
so
great.
I'd love to. I've never seen her in like an interview. I'd love to know who she is. Because every
she's hilarious.
Time she's just like this weird person.
Yeah.
She never plays like a normal person. So I'd love to see her.
We both love soup.
Yeah. That's what I mean. Yeah. Best in show.
Best
and
in show.
Everything.
That's my favorite movie.
She's always a weirdo.
Yeah. Okay. Always a weirdo. All right.
Yeah.
Let's get into it. We start out with voiceover. We see a princess's castle. So you're like, oh boy, here we go.
Same thing
with like Beautician and the Beast.
It's
it
all
had
the same.
This like fake like princess, you know, like tongue in cheek, you know.
Yeah, fairy tale opening.
This is gonna be, but fairy tales don't exist type thing where they're like, what do you think I am? You think I'm a princess or something? So we hear that they once upon a time there lived a little girl and her widowed father. I don't remember any of my storybooks starting like that.
Never.
Like, this girl's got a dead mom.
Mom got eaten by a dragon. What I don't understand
is...
Routini. Hillary Duff's mother's dead, okay? This would be a formative life event, all right?
Yeah, okay.
She does not mention her mother one time in this movie. There is not one fleeting mention, not a picture of her in a fucking stand somewhere
not
where
homage,
he lives and goes, oh, my mom and my dad are dead. Nothing.
Yeah.
Just mom does not fucking exist. Dad
Ugats
is the son. How shitty was mom is what I'm getting at.
I think she was probably an angel.
I think she's either, if she's an angel, she's really been sold
giving,
short by this
They're giving
group.
Her the old brajol.
They don't
kind of
give
upset
two shits. They're giving her the old routini.
Yeah.
They don't, it's not fair.
Not cool, man. So she talks about that her and her dad are the best of friends. Again, it makes you question, you know, what kind of a gal the mom is. And then honestly, how did she pass away?
We don't know how she died. We don't know. I mean, there's no like, oh, this was a trauma causing thing when I was a child. It's just she's fine with a dead mom.
Yeah. So the dad owns a diner. It's called Hal's Diner. This is a perfect opportunity to name it after the mom the, who passed
away. Yeah, it could have been
this
like,
could have been like Helen's Diner or something that. No, it's Hal. It's all about Hal.
It's all everything's about. The universe revolves around Hal.
Yeah, everything revolves around
God
Hal.
Damn it, Hal again.
He's such a great guy that he even had to die in a disaster. It wasn't even like a heart attack couldn't take him down.
He wasn't
illness, like whatever. It could have only have been something so preventable.
Okay, here's the thing I don't understand too.
Guy.
Yeah, I know we're jumping ahead to the earthquake here, but this earthquake happens. He's not like on the fucking road and a bridge collapses or anything like that. He's in his fucking house.
And nobody else died.
Well, that's what I mean. Later on, the house is still fine.
Yeah.
So the only way he dies in the house is if the roof collapses on him and the roof is still in the same shape.
If Jennifer Coolidge hit him in the head.
Maybe, and said it was the earthquake.
Yeah. And
that's
like,
possible.
Oh, honey, your dad died.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. How come she doesn't just murder Hillary Duff over the course of this movie?
This is a different movie.
Am I jaded or what?
But yeah,
you think
we're
she'd be like, I'll just poison this kid
here.
And be like, yeah, she was sick for a while. I don't know.
So she talks about how her dad and her are like the best of friends. He owns a diner. They always hang out there. The staff is family.
Yeah.
We meet the staff. We meet Regina King. We meet Paul Rodriguez. And I don't, for the life of me, don't know the other waitress's name.
Oh, what is her name? Yeah, she plays like a teacher all the time.
I know, and she's really great. But so we meet the family.
Oh, sorry to interrupt you. By the way, I didn't want to, just to say, when I said Hillary Duff would fetch a pretty penny on the black market, this isn't my market. I'm just saying, this isn't my market. That's all I mean. I feel like they're kidnapping a lot of women from like third world countries. I just didn't think there was a lot of like English speaking from the valley.
We're not talking
Hillary
about
Duff's
this.
Walking around.
No, we
so
have to
that's
talk
what I
about
meant.
This movie.
Well, I didn't want people to think I was like, oh, blonde girls are worth more. That's not what I was saying. But I'm just saying on this market, she'd be a rarer commodity. Therefore,
the
price would go up.
Speaking.
I don't sell women. That's all I want to make clear.
Okay. First of all. Who are you trying to convince?
Well, I mean, you're my wife. Have you ever once seen me sell anyone into sex slavery? No.
Okay. I'm not talking about this anymore.
Okay, good.
We're at the birthday
Move
party.
On.
Hillary Duff's having a birthday party, and
she's like 8 or 10,
like,
too.
You never know how old people are. She looks like she's maybe like 7 or 8, yeah.
But it says 8 years later, 10. And then she's 17, so I don't know. I figured she was like 9 at the time.
Yeah, I mean, she does look really young, though. So maybe the people who are...
I thought she was 5, and then they said 8 years later, and she's 17. So I'm like, all right, she must have been older than I thought she was. So
anyway, the little girl, the actress that they used, looked very young.
Yes.
Or if she's going to be 10, then she did not look 10.
Shit, no.
But anyway, as I digress. So they're at the birthday party. Hal, such a good guy, Hal, is taking a picture of Hillary Duff.
It's a mensch.
And then... Jennifer Coolidge runs into him and she, you know, he catches her because he's such a great guy.
Yeah, she's falling.
She ruined his picture of his daughter and he's even like, it's okay, I'll catch you.
And then marry you.
And then they get married.
Yeah.
She has twin daughters.
Fraternal.
Fraternal
they
twin
look
daughters.
Nothing alike.
And then they get married and then Hillary Duff asks her dad as he's reading her a bedtime story. She asks where princesses go to college and he says where the princes go, Princeton. Pretty lazy, Hal. That's fine.
Yeah, he was just like, well, you know, Princeton, you know, of course. Anyway,
so
that's
he
not
told
important.
Her. OK, so he tells her, you know, don't just follow boys. Right.
Yeah, don't
so
just
he's like, don't just follow boys.
Don't
be
try
fulfilled.
To find a prince.
Do what you want to do. But then he also told her that princesses go to college at where the princes go, which is Princeton.
Yeah, I think he just was trying to look for a way. How do you answer that question?
Yeah.
So there's prince and princess and Princeton. So
you could
fuck
have
it.
Been more creative.
You're
when
5.
I was,
who cares?
When so I was like, I don't know, maybe 15 or 16, and the little girl that I used to babysit asked me why raspberry.
What?
Was spelled like raspberry and not raspberry.
Yeah.
And I remember I told her that a king had a speech impediment and
funny. Well, kid'll believe that.
Yeah. So I'm sorry to Lauren and Emily. I did not mean to lie to you so many years ago. I just, you set me up for something fun.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So it's fine. You're
over
fine.
It by
you're
now,
fine.
Probably.
You're doing fine. Anyway, so they're having an earthquake. The snow globe broke. We find out that dad passed away. She's very sad, crying on the baseball field.
I didn't realize he was so fragile. Well, that's the thing. He fell over.
I mean.
His head could fucking skull
heart.
Cracked like an egg.
Yeah, we don't know. Well, we don't know how anybody died.
His brain leaked out like yolk.
But
There was no, I just picture him like Humpty Dumpty.
Like in the diner.
He's so fragile.
Maybe that's why it's Hal's Diner. Because he's like, we'll sell diner food because I'm so fragile.
His bones were like, you know, eggshell. He just couldn't, couldn't cope. Hal was never going to make it, man.
He was never going to make it in the world. Brittle. It might as well have been, he lived every day like it was his last.
By the way, I meant to ask, and it's funny because I asked this often with these movies, what fucking year do they want me to think this is? I realize it's supposed to be modern because they have like new cars and shit, but it doesn't take place in the 2004 that I remember 2004 being. It's definitely like 1963 mixed with 2004. Kind of. She's like, I live in the valley, and the valley's cool. No one's happy to be in the valley. It sucks. The valley's hot and shitty, and you're just
and
trying
they have
to
a
get
a very nice house.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Huge.
Yeah.
So
it's
beautiful. Like, wow, he must be doing really great at this diner.
This diner's killing it.
Because Jennifer Coolidge can now get plastic surgery every 5 seconds. Yeah. She has like a swim instructor. Anyway, it's whatever. Jennifer
She's
Coolidge.
Crushing it.
We find out that Jennifer Coolidge got the house, the diner, and much to her dismay, Hillary Duff.
Yeah, so Dad didn't leave a will, so everything went to her, including me.
She had to move her bedroom to the attic.
They show that's what your dad's dead. Yeah, move your shit.
Your dad's dead. You're going to the attic. So that's what it kind of seems like. She's like, I lost my best friend that day, and now I have to live here in this house all by myself.
The
and,
attic's like not painted. It's like unfinished and
but
shit.
But then when she's 18 or she's 17. That is like every teenager's dream room. It's fucking cool as shit.
Yeah.
It's away from everybody else.
Shit, yeah.
Like, it's up in the. I would have killed for that bedroom.
That's what
like,
I'm saying.
Please move my stuff in the attic.
Wasn't a problem, but at the time they were like, "Move your shit, kid. Move your broken snow globe and your dead parents' fucking memories up
Don't
to your
step
new
on
room.
These shards of glass.
Yeah, on the way up. Yeah. Don't step on any shards of your dead mother on the way up.
Flesh wounds are not 5-star.
It's not 5-star.
It's not 5-star.
As they would say on Blanket.
That's my dream bedroom. But anyway, so it says 8 years later. So that's always a good sign in a movie.
Hillary
Duff is sleeping at her desk and she's studying. She's being summoned by like a
intercom
thing.
Like an office one, like sitting on her desk where like in the 80s, somebody's secretary would come in. Like,
yeah, it's Jennifer Coolidge on the horn and she's telling Hillary Duff to get down there and serve her breakfast.
Yeah, so it's time for breakfast. So my breakfast.
Yeah. While she's outside like tanning, she's serving the breakfast and then there's synchronized swim lessons going on for the twins, but then they end up at school later that day. So, like, how much earlier are these people waking up? There's no way you could get me to wake up to fucking do synchronized swim lessons when I'm 17.
What synchronized swim private instructors coming over at 5:30 a.m. to teach your kids shit?
Like,
it's a fucking pool. I'll be there. It'll be filled with water all day.
Go kick rocks. I'll see you at 3. I'm off school. Like, no, don't talk to me.
Yeah, this is crazy.
So Hillary Duff serves Jennifer Coolidge her breakfast and she asks if this is the Norwegian salmon that she asked for because she needs her omega-3s.
Mm-hmm.
She's reading a salmon diet book. Now,
she's obsessed with salmon. It's a weird little running joke.
The only reason why I bring that up is because she's obsessed with salmon for the whole movie.
Mm.
Paul Rodriguez always plays with the salmon. He's always like, you know, making the salmon.
He's always got like a 7-foot salmon.
Yeah.
And, it's like,
and then there's like at the diner. Because Jennifer Coolidge, I'm sorry, ends up making the diner her diner and she paints it in like a 50s diner and whatever.
Yeah.
It says, ask about the salmon special.
And everything is salmon, including like salmon and donuts, we find out later.
Yeah.
There's a thing there.
Hillary Duff, I did love that Jennifer Coolidge said that the salmon was expensive to ship from Norwegia.
Yeah.
And then Hillary Duff says, hi, I can't go to work this morning because I have a test at school. And so, you know, we're going to school later. So nice synchronized swim lessons at whatever time in the morning.
Yeah, everything happens so early in the morning in this movie.
And then, Jennifer Coolidge tells her that you only go to school so that you can get a job, but you already have a job, so I don't know why you need to study so hard for all of your tests. And okay, so
her job is mopping a diner floor, by the way. It's not like she's a pro tennis player or something.
Yeah, I haven't watched this movie in quite a while, and I just realized after watching this time, Hillary Duff wants to go to Princeton because it's her dream, right? So she's taking all these AP classes and she's studying and she's waking up at ungodly hours.
Yeah.
And she's getting the dry cleaning and she's feeding Jennifer Coolidge breakfast. And she takes, you know, the car to go get washed and waxed and everything like that. She goes to school. She works at the diner. She's also doing her stepsister's homework.
Yeah.
She's doing all of this and having an online relationship with Chad Michael Murray.
Austin Argyle.
Austin Ames.
Ames? Yes. Shit, sorry.
Austin,
I don't know why Austin Argyle came out. That just came out of my mouth.
No, but so
it's Austin Argyle.
She's doing all of this stuff. And she gets into Princeton.
Jesus Christ.
You're not good at names.
By the way, she has no extracurriculars. She's not getting into Princeton. Where are your extracurriculars, Duff?
Yeah.
Huh? Where are they at? What are
She's
you doing?
Doing plenty. She's being an assistant.
I can't put that on your college application.
She works at the diner. She's,
you got to have extracurricular. She's got nothing. She's doing shit. She can't say extracurricular fucking playing online footsie with the captain of the football team, Austin Argyle.
Well,
that's not going to work.
As well as the salmon thing, a common recurring theme in this movie is that there is a drought.
Oh, yeah, constantly.
So Hilary Duff yells at Jennifer Coolidge for the sprinklers being on because we currently have a drought. And that, you know, Jennifer Coolidge says, well, poor people have brown lawns.
Droughts are for poor people.
Yeah, droughts are for poor people.
Which so
whatever.
Is the valley, dummy.
Yeah.
Not anymore, but still.
There's
if you
a
could
lot...
afford to live closer to the ocean, you would.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the point.
There's a lot of Hilary Duff songs in this movie because she is a singer, so that's good.
Hold on, wait. She's a singer. You forgot to put it in very large, broad
no,
air quotes.
That's the emphasis.
You can't even...
Let the rain fall down.
Her music is so like
it's
her,
so good.
Her singing is the lowest sound in the sound wall that they make. It's
hey
just
now,
you
hey
hear
now,
guitars and drums and things, and then there's just like this mild auto-tuned whisper in the background.
Hey now,
yeah, like she can't sing. Just drown her out with the low. Just make it all distorted.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so like I said, that Jennifer Coolidge turns this diner into a 50s diner. Everyone has to wear roller skates and poodle skirts. The roller skates are really for like the Benny Hill type comedy. They're
yeah,
always falling.
With complete with the music,
yeah.
like a cartoon. Like it'll
yeah.
be like, boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
Like it's that yeah. fucking cartoony and stupid and bad.
We see that they have the, you know, ask us about our salmon special. We meet Regina King. Her character is Rhonda, and Rhonda basically runs the place. She worked at the diner
yeah.
when Hal
best,
was at
best
the diner.
Best thing in this movie, she is.
She's the best thing in
by
this
far.
Movie. She's always yelling at people. I
yeah.
love it.
She's mean.
But like the right people. She's
yeah.
yelling at Jennifer Coolidge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She takes her earrings off later, whoops somebody's ass. Like, I
yeah.
like her. She's cool. And,
yeah, she takes Hilary Duff.
Yeah.
Okay, that's, we're getting ahead of
Plus,
ourselves.
Plus, the acting, they do not choose. I'm going to make a controversial statement here.
Oh, boy.
Hilary Duff, not the best technical actor as a leading
wow.
lady.
She's really good.
She's
what are you talking
not
about?
Not very good. Austin
okay,
Argyle.
Fine. Hilary Duff or Haley Wooden. Duff? Because I've made you watch a couple of
well,
Haley
I
Duff
feel
movies.
Like this is the movie that Haley Duff brings up at Thanksgiving if Hillary starts breaking her balls. She's like, well, you're the B, you know, you're
You've
like
never
the,
seen Cadet Kelly.
And then she's like, listen, Cinderella story, motherfucker.
Or
and she's
McGuire
like,
movie.
Okay. And then she puts her head down and sulks away.
Whatever. That one radio movie that we watched with Haley Duff was
okay, that
embarrassing.
Was, that was embarrassing. But the ones she's making now are like fucking Christian movies or something. They're weird.
No.
They're not even like regular movies. They're for like weird.
Whatever. She's on the Food Network. I deserve to be on the Food Network.
They're for ladies dressed like Ree Drummond sipping a cup of tea.
Hey. Okay. We see one of the Regina King taking one of the regulars' orders. It's a bunch of greasy shit. And then he also says that he wants a Diet Coke, which that was like, that was that era
that
where
was
that joke
man.
Was really funny, where it's like, I want this big greasy cheeseburger, these french fries,
yeah.
extra onion rings, and then a Diet Coke.
And he says, I'm watching my weight.
I'm watching
she
my figure.
She says, don't worry, it's not going anywhere.
Yeah, don't worry.
It's her response.
Which, yeah. Which, by the way, if you're at a diner and you're already ordering disgusting
yeah.
food, you might as well go for broke and order the regular
Hillary
Coke.
Duff describes it as like, as the grease is at no extra charge, and
yeah,
there's nothing
yeah.
here for anybody on a diet. It's
yeah.
a greasy.
Everybody listen for when
yeah.
your arteries slam shut here.
Very popular. In LA.
Just, yeah, it's
by the way, there where no one gives a shit about what they look like or their health. Yeah.
Hal.
It's fucking like,
Hal's a great guy. He wants everybody to get all...
They all know. Yeah. They all know all the customers too. That's the other thing. They're all regulars.
That's
it's,
what, so you're
it's like
kind
a rural
of,
truck stop or something.
Yeah, you're seeing the dynamics of the diner. Is that you know Rhonda kind of runs the show there, and you know it's like a Cheers.
It's very
place.
Stereotypical too. They got tough black lady that runs the place. They got you know dumb like kind of heavy set white lady who can't roller skate and falls down all the time, and she's like your comic
and
relief.
She's a little older, yeah.
And then Paul Rodriguez is like, hey, I don't know what to do with this fish. She comes in like with like a fucking all you know like his born in East LA accent from the fucking movie from the 80s. Like I'm like, what is going on, Paul Rodriguez? What's up with the stereotypes in this fucking movie?
Well, this movie is crazy with that. So Hilary Duff is going to be late for school, so she goes because Rhonda Regina King, she's the only one that's like mothering Hilary Duff.
Yes,
she's like, you need to get up, you need to go to school, you're gonna be late. And you know Hilary Duff's like, I can't because Jennifer Coolidge wants me to do this, like, you know. So she gets her off to school, she takes care of her. And I was mad at Hal here because I'm like,
you. I was just
marry
say,
Rhonda,
why not,
why didn't you marry Rhonda?
You know what, maybe
she
he
loves
tried.
Her like her maybe
he wasn't Rhonda's type.
Maybe Hal got rejected.
Maybe Rhonda's like, listen, I like to keep my shit professional and work with you on a professional basis. You're a nice guy, maybe in an alternate universe,
maybe
but
Hal
not today.
Hal respected that dynamic anyway.
That's the other thing. Maybe Hal didn't want her to want it to seem
he's
like
he's such
he was,
a good guy, James.
Yeah, well, you know what? Hal is a good guy.
Hal is a good guy. Okay, except for the fact that he didn't marry Rhonda.
He didn't, and he didn't, no mention of his little girl's dead mother to her ever.
And didn't give her a will, as far as we know.
No will.
Okay.
Left her high and dry.
We have a lot of problems with this movie. All right. Hilary Duff goes and picks up her friend Carter from school. And he's kind of like a geeky theater kid. He's always wearing a different costume.
Stereotypical.
In every scene.
Yeah.
Every time that you meet him, he's always wearing... a disguise. He's a cowboy.
He's a rapper. He's a cowboy. Yeah. He's this. He's that.
He's always dressing up.
He's so vanilla that they had to give him that. Otherwise, they were just like, I feel like he was in the script as this
the
boring.
Yeah,
this boring whatever. And they're like, I don't know, make him dress up in a different outfit in every scene. Yeah. That's something for him to do. There you go.
So he says that he's a method actor. And then he, you know, she's like, oh my God, please go change. You're going to embarrass me.
Yeah.
We go to the school. The school sign says homecoming game, go frogs, which that is probably the worst. First high school mascot.
The frog, very threatening. I don't know.
The fighting frogs.
Yeah.
Fight frogs win.
Their mascot's like a frog that sort of has a kind of an angry look on its face, which you're like,
frog? Like, okay. So my high school mascot was, we were the thunder. I guess it was supposed to be like a thunder horse, but then we also had a guy that dressed up in the mascot uniform, and it looked like a big piece of cheese.
Yeah, there's no mascot for thunder.
And
that's
then our
the
chant was Go Big Blue. So it was very, very, very confusing.
That's confusing as shit.
We're the Desert Vista Thunder, but like sometimes there was a horse, and sometimes it was a lightning bolt, and then sometimes, because the lightning is not thunder, it's lightning.
That
and
is
then
awful.
He also said Go Big Blue.
That's awful.
It's great.
The high school I went to was just the Patriots, so they did it that way.
Oh.
Exactly. It just had,
that sucks.
Yeah.
Anyway, the announcements are being made by this girl who's clearly punk, but also, like, I think she's just kind of gainfully employed by this school and just by everywhere.
She's never in class. She's just always in the booth giving a running fucking commentary on the day's events.
Yeah, she's like, what good morning, frogs. Like, you know.
Yeah, just there's no teachers being like, hey, tone it down.
Yeah.
And make the announcements.
She mentions like the drought here. So she's just really taking a lot of liberties. She's
doing
like
a monologue.
Yeah.
It's like her late night show.
Yeah, she's like, don't forget to conserve water, everybody, because you know we're in this drought.
And then she says, Mr. So-and-so gets the Brown Award. He hasn't taken a shower in weeks.
Yeah, she's roasting the teachers. And it's like,
fucking, as the teacher, as he's walking and his briefcase opens and papers are flying, he's trying to pick him up because it's a Bugs Bunny cartoon also.
Yeah.
While they're insulting him over
the
PA.
Same guy as the one where he says that he looks like a frog. Oh, whatever. Anyway.
Yeah, okay. I think you're right. Yeah.
Everybody... Everybody is not even listening to this solid comedy on the fucking PA.
She's crushing.
Because they're all on their flip phones.
Right now, she's got a very big podcast.
She is crushing. She's like, good morning, frogs and frogettes.
Hey, frogs and frogettes.
Ribbit, 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 ribbit.
And that girl was Carol Baskin, everybody.
No. Oh, maybe. Maybe. Anyway, so everybody's on their flip phones at this school, okay? So everybody's got their flip phone out, and they're all comically, like, texting or, you know, playing Snake or I don't know what they're doing.
Big time.
The popular girl, we're in the parking lot at the school. Popular girls, they cut Hillary Duff off and they kind of angle park in between two spaces and they're like, you snooze, you lose.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, this is really weird to set up this dynamic in the parking lot. And then you're like, ha ha, you didn't get this parking spot.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
That's a root of a lot of people, like, you know, getting a lot of road rage. So, this isn't funny.
There was a lot of 80s movies that had that, like parking lot encounters. That was
You can park next to me, but now I'm not going to let you.
Yeah. Dude, there were so many, like, teen 80s movies that's how shit started. It was in the parking lot, and your car's a piece of shit, and you're a loser. And I have a. Because the parking lot is how you can tell which kids are which.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because that's a rich kid. They have a nice car.
The popular girl. Are driving like a white Audi that looks like something that like a real estate agent drives.
A lady real estate agent, as they said.
And
the
she wears a pantsuit.
Oh, absolutely.
She wears a pantsuit.
She's going to show you that condo.
And then Hillary.
It's an option.
Yeah,
I get that you want detached, but
listen,
you know what?
The HOA is
an option. It's low.
There's updated features.
They keep everything nice. I'm just saying.
Yeah, it's new.
It's gated.
Construction.
It's gated.
Safe.
You know.
Okay.
It's a thought.
Crown molding. All right. And Hillary Duff drives an old Mustang.
It's like a 67. No, it's a regular Mustang.
It's a regular Mustang.
It's like a first generation, like that first 66
to 71. No matter how old you are, and everybody's like
convertible. Oh. Convertible,
yeah,
by the way.
And it's a convertible. When
it needs a paint job and shit. It's
not even like rusty or chipped. It's just in nice condition.
It's a sweet car.
Yeah, it's a sweet car.
Yeah.
And so they're like, oh.
Yeah,
they took our spot, and we're gonna have our, we have our cool car, and we can't park it next to their car. Like, who cares?
Yeah.
And then here comes the popular guys, and they're driving in the Mercedes G wagon.
Of course,
they're driving in this giant Mercedes.
It's
SUV. Yeah. It's ginormous,
$130,000 car.
They almost hit the Mustang.
Oh yeah,
and then they back into the parking spot.
Austin Argyle don't give a fuck.
It's okay. Chad Michael Murray. But anyway, here comes Chad Michael Murray, and he's coming out of the G-Wagon. But all these people in the car are so mean.
Oh, yeah.
The boys, too. They're like, hey, diner girl, I want a breakfast burrito.
They're like, take that, whore. What do you think now?
By the way, I would be excited if somebody from my high school worked at the diner. I'd be like, what's up? Can I get some free French fries?
That's the other thing. I was friends with people I didn't even like because they worked places that I wanted free shit in high school. If you knew someone worked at McDonald's, they're your friend now because I want free fucking Big Macs. And that's the point here.
Yeah.
They would all be super nice to her, even if they hated her.
She
they'd be phony
because
they'd be like, she's
going
to get milkshakes and shit. For free here.
Yeah, we can get a free milkshake.
Yeah,
we can
this
get
is
some
bullshit.
French fries.
That's
what the fuck's the matter with you? I will give this movie some credit because usually in these high school movies, they don't have the high schoolers doing what high schoolers do. But in this movie, they do show a lot of the high schoolers hanging out at the diner, which is what high school students will do if they have a car and some money.
Or what was the one movie? John Tucker,
where they're going to like a French restaurant on a yacht.
Do you like escargot? No, she's 16.
No, they're at least like, what's up? Let's go to the diner and let's go get an iced tea. It seems a little
normal-ish
bit more
normal. For rich normal kids, though.
And
obviously,
the girl looked like younger Denise Richards to me. A little bit.
Kind of.
Shelby, the main popular girl.
I couldn't place her. She'll pick somebody.
The stupid thing is that nobody talks like this at high school. The white zone is for cool people only. No geeks.
Yeah,
I'm like,
that was...
Your car is worth more than mine. I drive a Ford Mustang. I'm going to fucking rail your fenders with this. I'd have been not worried about it at all. Oops, sorry. And then I would have run into their car.
Yeah, they made it seem like there was some kind of... That sounded like a 50-year-old person wrote that.
So in school, Jennifer Coolidge's daughters, the fraternal twins, are trying to get in with the cool girls. They're saying hi to Shelby and... you know, but the, like Shelby's not averse to being their friends because they got her a Prada bag for her birthday one year.
Yeah, they're like,
but like she's not, she's kind of not really into it because they're like, trying too hard.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's what it is. She's like, yeah, you're not part of the group, but I'll be nice to you for
stuff. Yeah, because you gave me a Prada bag.
Like if someone worked at a diner, how you treat them. Although they don't
treat her
like
French
fries.
That.
Yeah. That's
if
what I mean.
If you come in there and you're like at least sort of nice to her, you can maybe get a free breakfast burrito and you'll get like the hookup with it. They'll load that shit up with meat and spuds.
What would you rather have? Like a constant French fry hookup or one Prada bag?
I think you understand. You know what I'm saying? You understand me as a person
that's
and you
I mean.
Know that I'd choose French fries.
That's what I'm saying. So you'd be more likely to be nicer to the
diner
girl. And
that's not like a weird personality trait that I have where I'm like, oh my God, fries before guys. Like I fucking love French fries.
Well, everybody does. That's what I mean.
No,
I think
but like some girls
like
try to
fries.
Use it as a personality trait.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I love
French
fries and I love pizza. Like Stephanie from
90 Day Fiancé. Yeah. No, you're
okay. There's that one guy who's in, what's that show? Big Bang Theory. He plays Howard. And he's always typecast as a nerd. They talk, so Carter and Hillary Duff are talking about Howard kid. And they're like, oh, he's just on another planet. And he's just like a super nerd. But like, so we're trying to distinguish like that Hillary Duff and Carter are not nerds, but they're not like popular kids. So they're like that. There's a hierarchy here. We're trying to figure out where we as fans of H. Duff and Carter are.
Yeah.
Where we are in high school.
We're not super nerdy,
but like we're not.
If weirdo super nerd guy is a 1 on the cool chart and Austin Argyle is a 10, they're like a 3.5.
Yeah.
Hillary and her friend here.
Yeah.
They're
maybe a 4.
Maybe a 4 tops.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, if they showed up at a party, like nobody would throw fruit at them and tell them to leave. But nobody would be like, yo, what's up?
Not the case
duster.
Because they treat anybody who is not the popular kid.
That's true.
Normally, everybody just kind of skates by and you don't really know who they are or anything like that. And you're just like, do you go to school?
Here,
like,
everyone super pays
but
attention to what everyone else is doing.
Like Hillary Duff at all.
How dare you?
And they're like,
how dare you work in your family's restaurant?
Breathe the same air that we breathe.
Yeah. It's not like she's fucking poor either. That's the other thing. Like, it's not like she's a poor kid. Like,
yeah, they're like, you're basically an orphan. Your mom and dad died. Loser.
Yeah, fucking loser.
Yeah, you work at the diner
that your family
dad
owns. It's
yeah.
Like, yeah, so what? You work at your family business.
Yeah, you work at your dad's car wash, bro.
That's what I mean. How is it less? This is the point I was making the whole movie. How is it she's a loser because she works at her family's diner, but he's the coolest kid in the world because he works at his dad's car wash?
Yeah.
What the fuck is that? They
and
both
he has
work.
A dumb Nike.
They love just showing you that Nike armband. Check them out. What is the point of that band? What does that do?
Sweatband.
But your arms aren't this sweat pouring off your
arms.
You
don't know what he does at the car wash.
I'm just
maybe
saying.
He buffs out a little bit.
I never
with
got
that.
That was always
armband.
Just for looks. Like I played a lot of basketball and
oh,
it was
he's
never
a quarterback.
Like, man, my
so
arms
maybe,
are just
maybe
sweaty.
He like wipes the sweat with the sweatband.
Well, you use a wristband, but he puts it like halfway up his forearm like a douchebag.
Yeah, because that's like where it is just in case. It's like when girls have a hairband.
You just roll it up.
Just in case you get sweaty. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So,
I've got it. It's available.
Where do you keep your tampons? I don't think I want to know.
In our purse.
Oh, okay. That's a relief. That's a
usually
relief.
Usually in a bag.
That's
right.
A relief. Oh.
So they're saying that the nerd guy is on another galaxy, but Hillary Duff's like, hey, you know what? He's happy, so I'm happy that he's happy. And she says that sometimes fantasy is better than reality. Meanwhile, she's always making fun of her friend Carter for his fucking,
dressing
costumes.
Up like
he's
characters.
Being a method actor.
That's what
always
I'm saying.
Fun of him,
yeah,
so.
I was mad at that.
Rude.
How dare you, Duffy? Duffster.
The Duffmeister. All right, so now we see Hillary Duff's beautiful flip phone, and it's got stars all over it, and she gets a text message. So she goes and sits on this, like, college campus fucking bench.
Yeah.
This high school seems like it's a college, because it's giant campus.
Oh, it's huge. Huge.
And she gets a text message where...
Olympic swimming pool and everything. It's
but like,
wild, this high school. It's next level.
I want to go here because I think I would have probably liked high school better if I went here. Even if I was on the scale of like 4, where the Duffster and I'd be like, whatever, I'll just blend in.
It's like a small town in there. Who cares?
So we hear Chad Michael Murray's voice talking over the text messages where it says, where have you been?
Is that double A?
We haven't talked in ages. Yeah, Austin Argyle.
Okay.
These people don't know each other. Hillary Duff doesn't know, but they're like, they're texting back really fast. And I don't remember texts coming back that fast back then,
especially when you had to do click
like
to click
now,
H.
Yeah,
you had to do
he
fucking
texts back
T9
so fast. Unless he has a sidekick, Like he has a sidekick. But even still, you gotta type.
Dude, you gotta type it and send it, and it's another. Yeah, no.
No, but he didn't have a sidekick. He had a flip phone.
That they all had flips. I think it was they all had the same one. They all had that Samsung with the little antenna that came up. Yeah. It was just a tiny little short one.
I wanted that Samsung
thin...
so bad, but yeah. I had that peanut phone.
Oh, yeah.
That Motorola peanut phone.
That's a piece of shit. Yeah,
it was the fucking worst. Anyway, sucked. So they're texting, and this is obviously when LOL first became a thing, because she texts back LOL, but her voice says, laugh out loud.
Yeah.
Laugh out loud. And he says some pretentious bullshit where he says, I can sit in a sea of people and still feel alone. You're like, oh, dang, Austin Argyle, you're fucking hitting me with some realness.
He is just...
You are the James Dean, but his AOL instant messenger name is Nomad, and hers is Princeton Girl.
Yeah, Princeton Girl 818, I think, is her area code, because she's so proud of living in the Valley that she wants to move to New Jersey.
Hers is Princeton really Girl, which, by the way, I don't remember. The only AOL screen name I remember having is Loser, where it was like 12 O's. And a Z-E-R, because I was really fucking edgy. And did you have AOL Instant Messenger?
I don't remember what I did with it.
I lived for the away messages.
Yeah, I tried to
I never wanted to talk to people. I just wanted to have a cool away message.
Yeah, how I am now on social media, I've always been like, don't bother me there. No more routes of entry here.
Mine was I had it, but then I wanted
answer
the
my
cool
phone
away message. Yeah, you never answer your phone.
These are people
I know. People call me because they're trying to get a hold of you.
Well, tell them not to.
Okay. Anyway. So... She says to, they're like IMing all day. Like they're in the library, they're IMing, they're texting each other.
While she's doing four people's homework.
They go to the same school.
Yeah.
And like they know that they go to the same school, but they don't know who each other is.
No.
Okay. So anyway, she says, have you told your dad about Princeton yet? And he says, no, I don't want to tell my dad that I want to be a writer because he has so many dreams for me.
The dreams are...
And the dreams are that he play football, but we don't know.
The dreams are, he says it, he maps it out. He says, your life's all planned out. He says, you're going to go to USC, you're going to play football, you're going to graduate, you're going to come here, work with
know?
Me, then take it over. That's, no, he doesn't tell her that, but that's that's what Argyle's...
Like, otherwise, you just figure out what it was.
No, that's what Austin Argyle's dad told him. That his big, he's going to run that car wash. That's going to be his...
Yeah, you're going to manage the car wash. It's the dream.
It's the dream.
But anyway, so Chad Michael Murray is a very, very, very deep soul in this. He's like a James Dean.
Yeah, CMM.
Yeah, CMM. He's like a James Dean-esque, but like he's so tired of being popular and everybody liking him.
Why?
Sometimes I just feel so misunderstood. I have this brand new Mercedes G-Wagon. I have a job at a car wash and I want to be a writer.
My magnetism's a curse.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
My athletic ability.
He has that real aw shucks look about him and you're like, ugh, yuck.
They try to make him like, you know, fucking Five Easy Pieces.
Yeah.
Jack Nicholson. Like he's like, you know.
I'm a nomad. I'm a road warrior.
Man.
I don't even care.
I'm going to throw my destiny away so I can feel my way through the world
as
a nomad.
Release the chains from me, popularity.
While I'm at
it's
it, though,
me down.
I'm going to drive this expensive car that my father bought me and take the money
and
that he's going to
beautiful girlfriend
pay
in
for
school.
It. Yes, I'll take all the advantages, but
I will violate the code.
I'm going
of high
to brood.
School.
Oh yeah, he's always
for Hillary Duff. Okay,
he has to be popular enough to violate the code.
So he's always quoting like Tennyson and he's quoting all these people and like being super douchey in the middle of the night. It's 2 a.m. and, you know, where he's messaging her some shit. And I'd be like, ugh, oh, my God, can you be pretentious tomorrow? I'll talk to you then because we're already talking to each other nonstop. So can you wait to be a douchebag tomorrow?
I'm going to save my eye roll for the morning.
But they met in a Princeton chat room, which I don't know how you start talking to that guy.
I don't know what the fuck they... And then they find out they go to school together, even though it's the internet, which is literally everyone on the face of the planet.
Yup.
But it happens to be.
Well, if this was updated, we'd figure out his Instagram name in a second. And we'd be like, that's Austin Argyle. And then the movie'd be over.
Boom. Done. Yeah. Oh, no. Boom, 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 pow. And it'd be done. Yeah.
So anyway, he says to her at like 2 o'clock in the morning, please meet me at the homecoming dance at 11 o'clock in the middle of the dance floor. I think that my high school dances ended at like 9 or 10. I don't remember them going until 11.
11. They don't even have the... They say at one point the teacher during the dance makes the announcement, it's almost midnight, ready for the announcement.
And it's at a hotel.
Like, what the
with
fuck
a bunch
is
of
happening?
Horny teenagers who think that after dances you get to go bang anyway, and they all seem to have money.
Hotels, just grounds with, you know, gazebos laced with candles and flowers. It's like a fucking fancy wedding is going on here.
So she, Hillary Duff, tells her friend Carter that, you know, she's like, oh my God, he invited me to the dance. I don't know what to do. And so Carter says that he will be her escort to the dance. What a nice friend. And you'd think that, like, the love story would be about, it would end up being about Carter and Hillary Duff.
He's the ducky. Fuck that guy. They don't care. But he ends up being kind of his own, like, kind of a pimp there by the end of the,
his own, he's the real nomad.
I got the babes.
Anyway, Jennifer Coolidge wants Hillary Duff to get more salmon. She wants her to pick up the dry cleaning and she wants her to wash the Jag. So Carter's like, why do you put up with this stuff anyway? They're playing baseball. She's got a lot of shit to do, but she still has time to play baseball in the middle of the day.
She's not on the team or anything. She's just Carter, taking some BP.
And Carter also, like, he's a nerd, but he can throw a pretty good pitch.
Yeah,
so I was like,
right down the middle. Yeah, he doesn't throw like weak or anything.
Yeah, he's got a pretty good pitch.
Wind up right down. She's ripping balls. I'm like, what's happening?
Yeah, she hit this thing, whatever. But he's like, why do you put up with this? And she goes, well, if I don't have any, if there's no Fiona, then there's no money for Princeton. So now you start to put together that she does all of this stuff.
There's
working off the college tuition.
Right? It's all means to an end here. That's
so,
what she's going for.
Chad Michael Murray, he witnessed Hillary Duff's home run and, you know, she hit it out of the park. And he's like, see, that's impressive.
He goes, man, a girl hit that.
Yeah. He's like, that's impressive to me.
Yeah.
And it's like, so now he's trying to branch out to his friends who are just dumb jocks that he's like, doesn't life have a deeper meaning than just football?
Something about a female hitting a baseball over a fence that just it makes you think about the meaning of the world.
Yeah.
And our position in it.
Yeah.
What like even, this butterfly. What
even, yeah.
Does are exactly. we is he floating through our world or are we floating through his? I'm going to Princeton. I'm going to Princeton.
The universe, according to Austin Argyle.
The universe, according to Austin Argyle.
Watch as the baseball orbits.
The routine edition.
Yeah. It's a routine.
It's a routine.
Okay. So the friend asks him if he's going to the dance, and Chad Michael Murray's like, yeah, I'm going to go to the dance, but I don't know if I'm going to go with Shelby. Just shaking some shit up, man, just like that earthquake. Just like that earthquake that killed Hillary Duff's dad.
Just bebopping and scatting. Just doing some things. Yeah, just he's like, I don't know about this.
We find out that Chad Michael Murray's dad owns the car wash, and he goes up to his son and says, what's all these college brochures that I see in your room?
What's this about?
Yeah. So he says, you're set.
He literally says, your future's set.
Your future's set. Like,
I've decided.
This is great. I can't wait to own your car wash,
what
Dad.
What you doing?
But he's like, listen, I just got off the phone with this guy. Friday's game. If you do that, you're set.
You're set. Every teen movie for like 8 years were like
that. What a kingdom.
Was the guy was like the popular guy, but doesn't really want it.
Yeah.
And his dad is forcing him to do
it. I reject your popularity.
Every movie from that era was that. Like, I'm just not that, man.
Just because I'm handsome doesn't mean I'm not deep.
Just because I'm handsome, athletically
He's
gifted,
such a Chad.
Socially, you know, aware, and just I'm just a magnetic young man, just because of that doesn't mean I don't have a soul.
Yeah. Don't judge me by my magnetism.
Fuck out of here.
Yuck. Ugh. Anyway, so that's his kingdom. Hillary Duff rolls up and to the kingdom, and she's like, hello, I need you to wash and wax the Jag. Chad Michael Murray is talking to her. Yeah. She, Chad Michael Murray is like, oh, you need a wax job. And she goes, excuse me. And I'm like, yeah. That's something that people say. And he goes, I mean the car.
Not your big, hairy Hillary Duff, if you know what I mean.
Hillary Muff.
Not your big, hairy Duff. She calls it her Duff.
I don't think so.
Yeah. She's like, I'm here for
now,
wax
Hillary
up
Duff,
the Duff, would you?
But that's Hillary what she says. Duff has turned out to be a very cool adult, so I don't know.
Yeah,
mind.
That's fine.
Also, you should watch that Sharon Tate movie on Amazon.
Jesus.
It's fucking hilarious.
Wow.
And I don't think that they meant it to be funny.
They certainly did it, but wow, is it fucking funny.
It's great.
Really fucking funny. She's entering like Lindsay Lohan level shit acting at this point.
Take everything that you know about Sharon Tate and Charles Manson and just throw it out the window.
Flush it right down the toilet. Yeah.
Okay.
And then just watch this movie.
And then watch this. Rub your eyes and begin anew. It's beautiful. Okay, anyway. So the twins roll up at the same time. They're in their matching Beetles. Well, one of them's like an orange color and one of them's like a lime green color. They always match their clothing to their car. So everybody wear the twins wear the same shirt except for one has a like an you know, like a reddish color, an orangish reddish color, and the other one has a green. So they always match.
Like cartoon characters would.
So she Jennifer Coolidge wants Hilary Duff to work at the diner tonight, and she's like, but I have a high school dance that I want to go to. It's my night off. Please, for the love of God.
It's the big costume.
I
want
to go to this ball.
Hey. It's going to be my routine.
Yeah. It's my break in the routine.
Hey, oh.
Anyway, so she says, no, I want you to come to the diner, and I'm going to pick the girls up, and I'll be back in the diner at midnight. So you need to be in the diner at midnight. So now we get the midnight thing going on. great. Jennifer Coolidge and Rhonda argue. I don't remember what they argue about, but we get the iconic line from Jennifer Coolidge where she says, I am a very appealing person.
Yeah.
And then we make fun of her a lot. Everybody makes fun of her. Ha, 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 ha. The popular kids are eating dinner at the diner, which is the most teenager thing that they do.
In the whole movie.
But they are very rude to Hilary Duff, to her face. She comes up and gets their order. But we did get the opportunity to slide in a little joke.
We're Austin Argyle's like,
Do you have anything that's gluten-free, fat-free, like whatever? And she's like, water.
Yeah,
this is a diner. Yeah,
yeah.
So he Austin Argyle thinks that that's a great joke. He loves it. He appreciates a girl who has a sense of humor and doesn't just think about what she's going to wear
and
or what she's going to eat or how many
healthy
pounds.
Appetite. He says too.
Yeah, later. And then Shelby says,
but all of his girlfriends are stick skinny though. Still, but
well, yeah, because that's what he has to do. That's what's expected of him.
That's true.
And he wants to break the mold and go out with another skinny chick, another skinny blonde.
Hilary Duff should go like 220 in this movie, and that would be something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Instead, it's like, oh, what do you? Who cares? She's still another skinny blonde. What's
she
the
has
goddamn
like a
difference?
Six pack in the movie.
Yeah, who gives
a
shit? Yeah, that's what I mean.
Anyway, so Shelby says, like, oh my god, she is so not getting a tip. Wanted to smack her right in the face. Rude. Just because Hilary Duff landed a pretty solid line delivery.
That's it.
Doesn't mean that you don't get to tip her.
But the Args has a comeback for that.
He's got a great
comeback. Listen, listen, woman.
Yeah. So Chad Michael Murray wants to talk to Shelby, and she's like, anything that you say in front that you can say to me, you can say in front of my peeps. So he says that he's going to break up with her, and she's like, what?
Yeah.
Are you in love with somebody else? Like, that's the only thing that could happen.
You're a twat.
Yeah, but that's the only thing, like, according to her.
According
like,
to her. Yeah. But yeah, he should have been like, no, look, you're a total twat. Did you hear what you just said? I'm not going to tip this. What are you fucking? You're an asshole. That's
you're
why.
You're a jerk.
I don't like
if
you.
If anybody that you're dating does not leave tips or is not nice to service people,
that's a bad sign.
That's a bad
person. Rid of them.
Get rid of them.
Yeah, they're not good. Think about that. Think about the level of not caring for others in any way, shape, or form that is. That, like, I can get away with that person
not
getting shit
from me. If he or she is rude to the service staff, imagine what they're going to be like with you once all the fun and fuzzies.
Well, that's someone they think that they're above. So if they think they're above someone and they do that, that's a bad sign.
Who? Go away. That's the kind of relationship
podcast.
Get from us.
Yeah, fart noises and anger. That's what you're going to get from us, everybody.
Don't tolerate rudeness.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay, anyway. The popular kids leave. They only ordered drinks because they were all, you know, Shelby's upset. She just got broken up with.
Oh, yeah, dumped all over.
And then, like a casual dump from Freddie Prinze Jr.
Oh, you know how that goes.
Right in the bench. All right. So Chad Michael Murray is a good guy. He tries to pay and tip for the iced tea and the Coke or whatever somebody ordered. She acted so disgusted when they all got up and left because he's like, sorry. And then he tries to give her money. And she's like, ugh, like, thanks for making me fill up an iced tea. Like, you didn't even take their order.
Yeah, who cares? Table's open now.
And they were being
now.
Really rude. Anyway, that guy, I would be so happy.
They weren't getting
a tip.
Wow,
somebody else. Yeah, not going to get a tip. So. This guy is going to ask me about the breakfast burrito from this morning because he has nothing
Who's
else going on in his
breakfast burrito
life.
Diner girl?
Yeah.
Like, she
I'd have been like,
she's going to spit in your food, by the way.
Are you ordering a breakfast burrito? Because I can get that for you.
And she's going to spit in your food.
Yeah.
Stupid. She has control over what you're going to order.
No, Hilary Duff wouldn't spit in anybody's food. She
I think
is
there's a secret
spawn
Duff
of
life.
Hal. No, she's the spawn of Hal. Hal, notoriously, a good guy.
Yeah.
So Hilary Duff would not spit.
But Hal's been nothing there to guide her since the time she was somewhere between 5 and 10. So,
I mean, yeah.
That's okay. The thing. She's had Fiona's terrible example to look on, but still.
Carter shows up to the diner wearing a Zorro costume, and he's like, come on, let's go. Like, we're going to the dance. And they talk about that you got to go because, you know, that guy's going to be there. Nomad's going to be there. And Rhonda asks, like, oh, the guy that's writing me writing you love notes. They're not love notes. And Rhonda hitting us with some good advice here. She says, if a man takes the time to write to you, then they are love notes. And that,
I fair mean, enough.
Speaking truth.
Yeah.
We have a costume montage because she's like, well, what would I even wear?
Yeah, this is, yeah.
She was planning on going.
A costume ball.
What was she gonna
going to
do? Yeah, because it's Halloween,
yeah.
Homecoming.
Yeah, yeah.
So now we have a costume montage. Rhonda barters for free breakfast for a month for the costume shop opener.
Must have spent an hour and a half in the store trying on costumes.
She says, I'll give you free breakfast for a week. And he goes, make it a month so that they could just open the door. Like, you can still lock them behind us.
Yeah.
Rhonda, do 2 weeks.
Well, then they get their money's worth because, like I said, they try on everything in the fucking store. Things that she's obviously not going to wear. Obviously, she's not going to wear a giant Porky Pig costume to the dance.
Yeah.
Why is that on her?
Or a night.
A fucking full, yeah, a full, or a hula. She's not going to go there in a bikini top either.
No.
Probably to a high school dance.
So they try on costumes for forever. They find nothing. Rhonda sees a mask, like a masquerade mask thing in
the case.
She says, can I have this? And then he's like, yeah, sure. I don't have an outfit to go with it, but it's okay because Rhonda does. We go and we see her wedding dress that she had saved for her maybe, which we don't know because maybe she wanted to marry Hal and Hal was not into it.
I just want to see Rhonda's movie.
I want to know Rhonda.
I want this movie to so branch off and go into Rhonda's backstory and fuck because she's the most interesting character in this fucking movie.
Where's
no one else is interesting.
From?
They're all
she
boring.
She lost her friend.
She's got a backstory. Yeah. She's got this wedding dress saved. She's working at this diner, yet she has a very nice house in L.A. somehow.
She is doing great for herself.
So I really want to know what Rhonda's up to. I feel like her movie would be way more interesting than anything that happened here.
Give us the Rhonda
Justice
story.
Justice for Rhonda, damn it.
Give us the Rhonda story.
I want the Rhonda story.
The dance is at a hotel, and the announcements girl is emceeing the evening's festivities, where she's like, you know... She's basically like a DJ, but like all the time.
All the time. The school's
she's
permanent
always,
DJ.
Whatever.
No
she's
classes.
Just like, yeah.
Nothing.
Good evening, frogs and frogettes.
It's so weird.
You guys all got your costumes on, but don't worry because we know who you are. And we're going to be telling you at midnight who's going to be crowned the homecoming prince and princess. Stay tuned. Here's another song.
It was so weird.
Yeah, she's just always a disc jockey. But anyway.
Constant disc jockey of the movie.
Hilary Duff, we see everybody. So Jennifer Coolidge's stepsisters, nope, the twins are dressed as Siamese cats, but they're like Siamese twin cats. So they're connected to each other because obviously they have to be a two-headed cat. And then Chad Michael Murray is wearing a prince outfit. The other two are wearing musketeers outfits and they're mad because they're like, what's up, bro? We were supposed to be the three musketeers, but now we just look like idiots.
Yeah.
And then Shelby is, I think they're all Charlie's Angels. I think that they're just dressed like angels, I guess. But like actually like what high school students would wear for an angel costume, which it was pretty like, I was like,
it was
oh, wow,
pretty accurate
actually,
there. Yeah.
Yeah
they weren't elaborate. They weren't like a Hollywood production.
And they weren't like too scantily clad.
No.
It wasn't like, oh, that's too sexy and racy for whatever. It was like, it was appropriate.
Yeah.
Hilary Duff is embarrassed. She's wearing the Zorro jacket, but like she's not scantily clad. She's just wearing a wedding dress and it's just like a strapless wedding dress. So
like a Cinderella puffy bottom.
She's like embarrassed, but I'm like the bottom part is the part that's going to be more embarrassing than the top part.
Because it's 7 feet wide?
Yeah.
Because you're dressed like
a gypsy wedding.
I was going to say like a big American gypsy wedding.
Looks like Sandra Celli made that dress.
Yeah.
It would look actually tasteful, but.
That's true. It was tasteful. It didn't have any.
Oh, what if she had like a
fucking
big
purple jewels?
That would have been hilarious. If you had this like giant, like 5 foot, like, okay, this dress is going to be 100 pounds.
It's 100. She's Duff is fucking
and she's like, yeah,
there.
Just. I need
that
to get my shoe.
Yeah, something.
All the crystals
and
the
then
diamonds
she's got,
that are not diamonds.
No. She's got this big dress and then her mask is just, it's just over your eyes. I mean, it's
so you can definitely tell who you are because you still have the same hairdo.
It's
the
like
bangs,
an Eyes Wide Shut mask. It's not
the bangs are going to give it away.
the bangs, her eyes, and I don't know, the 85% of her face that you can see. You can see her whole fucking face.
But anyway,
people do recognize jaws and other parts of the face besides just around your eyes. I don't get why the only part that's recognizable is your eyebrows. I can see your eyes and your face and your mouth, but your eyebrows are covered.
Well,
who's there?
No,
I don't see anything.
Oh my goodness, I've never seen this person before.
That's what it is.
You would be like, but the funny thing is her entrance is so magnificent.
Oh, it's down a big staircase.
The spotlight is on her. It's down a big staircase. Everybody stops and looks at her. And Carter is like, is everyone looking at me? And then he turns around and he smiles like, no, my friend is getting her time to shine.
It's a time to shine at the top of a mountain.
So she
goes. Only to this part of the movie still?
Yeah, man. She goes to the middle of the dance floor as instructed. And she's super nervous about it because she's like, you know, what if he doesn't like me? And Carter's like, don't even worry about it. So he says that he'll set the alarm on her phone and he's like, I'll come get you, you know, whatever. And the nerd guy is the one that's standing behind Hilary Duff at first. He's dressed like Neo from The Matrix. Did I get that right?
Yeah.
Whatever Keanu Reeves played in The Matrix, that's who he is. And he's doing this weird mating dance, which is awkward. And then all of a sudden, Chad Michael Murray comes up and he's like, Princeton girl?
Are you Princeton girl?
Austin Ames, are you Nomad? So she's like mad at him.
She's like, Austin Argyle. Oh my God.
Yeah. So the funny thing is that the nerdy guy's sunglasses are almost as like disguise as much as this eye mask
absolutely.
Is, right?
The eye mask is basically
sunglasses.
Like big sunglasses.
Yeah.
Like, the big ones that some women wear cover more of your face than what Hilary Duff has.
Yeah.
Now, do you see someone every day and then they wear those sunglasses and you're like, hi, and you
what
introduce
if you
yourself?
Saw them 3 hours earlier and spoke to them.
Spoke to them.
Yeah.
They heard their fucking voice and their mouth make the fucking sounds that their voice make, and you go, can't place it without the eyebrows. It's just a goddamn it.
Yeah. Okay, so he's like, fuck. Are you Princeton girl? And he goes, oh, you know who I am? And then she's like, yeah, I know exactly who you are. And she's like mad at him.
Yeah.
And then he's, you know, trying to get her to dance and whatever. She's like, don't you know who I am?
Yeah,
and he goes, sure. But he doesn't know who she is at all, right? And I was like, okay, she just talked to you and in this same tone as well where she's pretty flustered. So like you think you'd be like,
And she speaks in like weird little bursts, like no one else at the school speaks, and because blah blah blah, because those are the way she remembers her lines, and then she, that's what.
So he talks her into staying and whatever, and so he's he's talking to her and about whatever the fuck he's talking about. I'm so deep and I don't want to go for football.
I don't care if I win prom king or homecoming fucking loser.
And so she says. That Hilary Duff says, you can't be a football captain, homecoming prince, and a closet poet. And he's like, but yes, I can.
But I can.
Because I'm not actually all of those things. Life is an illusion.
Okay. I am Austin Argyle.
And then he says, will you tell me who you are if I guess? Yes. Yes.
Yeah. If you tell me the yes. And then they play literally 20 questions.
Yeah.
None of which have anything to do with who she is, by the way.
Yeah, because I said they play 20 questions, and how does he not recognize her voice by this point?
Plus, if you're in high school, you know people in high school when you go to high school by certain things. 20 questions. Question one, question two. Where do you work? What car do you drive?
Do you have a job? Not where do you work?
Whatever, but
not
you don't want to waste two questions.
Kid.
Then she'd say, I don't have a job. So you just killed two questions with one. That's why I did that. You don't know how to play 20 questions very well. Do you have a job? Yes. Okay, where do you work? That's two questions.
Not everybody in high school has a job.
But that's the point. You ask them where you work,
and they all have
and then
jobs.
She says,
so weird.
I don't have a job. Then you go, okay, that way I just answered two questions.
Talk to her
and you'd say,
times.
What car do you drive? And then you know exactly who the fuck it is because it's only.
Can I tell you something? I didn't know anybody's car. When I was in high school.
Really? That's how you know people in high school.
Yeah, but I had to take the bus because I didn't get my license until I was 18.
But they are always in and out driving in the
And I
in
had
the
one
school.
Friend that used to take me home after school.
Yeah.
But I would take the bus to school.
I'm just saying you'd see the parking lot and you'd see what cars people get in. You're like, oh, and you match them with
people.
No, but
like when you take the bus, you don't see the parking lot ever.
Oh, all right. Well, I don't know. I did in my school. You had to walk through it. So there was no way to get there.
It was on the other side from my school. Go well, Big Blue. Okay.
Guys.
Anyway, so Chad Michael Murray's friend is trying to get with Shelby, and Shelby is not into it. So Carter defends her honor, and they end up having a comical chase and beating up where he's
not
like,
comical,
I watched
by the way.
Pirates of Penzance 3 times, and here's scene 2, act 1, or whatever. Who cares?
He lifts the bar, hits him, and then pumpkin falls on his fucking head like it's a Scooby-Doo cartoon.
Yeah, Shelby whispers in Carter's ear, and he kind of makes that, like, oh boy, face. Like, he's super excited. Chad Michael Murray and Hilary Duff are dancing in the gazebo that is clearly decorated for a wedding that should be happening very, very soon. There are candles that are lit. There's a violinist and a cellist there, and they are sitting there, and they start playing I'll Be by Edwin McCain. And it's just like, did they think, like, oh, God, shit, holy crap, this is our wedding. This is our couple, because she's wearing a wedding dress, and he's wearing what looks like an outfit. I don't know that
he's
you might
Prince
wear.
Prince Charming or yeah. whatever. I don't know. He's got like an old timey outfit on of some kind.
And hey, out there, frogs and frogettes, if you guys ever want to see Edwin McCain, you guys can just watch on Netflix Flipping Ships.
Oh, that's right.
Because he takes like yachts, and it's a hilarious show.
Yeah, it doesn't...
I was being the DJ from the school.
I realized that. Yeah, I was trying to remember.
Okay, so
he's like, I used to sing songs, and now I got boats.
Now I flip ships.
Good
and
for
I
you.
Hang out with my friends. All right. Yay. So Hilary Duff says to Chad Michael Murray, "Are you all out of questions?" And he says, "Do you believe in love at first sight?" That's what everybody watched. Fucking Freddie Prinze Jr. just said that in the last movie. The worst.
Because that's some sort of stupid... That's
and
a guy's
really,
idea of what's romantic, I think.
She's really clever, and she says, I'll let you know. So, no, because it shouldn't...
Yeah, that does... So
we already had our first sight. We already had our first sight.
I haven't, quote, seen you because your eyes are covered, obviously, but you've seen me, so I think that's what I'm asking
but
is,
she's not
do you
like
me?
Yeah. Do you believe in love at first sight?
You dig what you're seeing here, woman? That's what he was saying. What's up?
Are you liking the Argyle?
You gonna get down on the Args or what? What's happening?
All right.
So give him what he wanted.
As they're dancing, he says, "How can I have seen you before and not know who you are?" Great question, Chad.
That's what we're saying. The whole time we're like, yeah.
Yeah.
No shit, stupid. That's what we're saying.
We went, I don't know.
Yeah. No, I think like whoever was writing or making this movie at one point went, how is it possible? And they said, let's just have him ask it. And they went, yeah, that's the thoughts of the writer.
He is a football player. So he does have a lot of head injuries.
I guess so.
Maybe he's
way
like,
more than normal.
Wow, she has a mask on.
But
it
no one knows who she is.
I know, it doesn't.
No one.
So they're just about to kiss. And, but okay, first of all, if this was me and I saw, you know, it's Chad Michael Murray in the middle of the dance floor, I would have taken my mask off immediately and been like, oh, Jesus Christ, it's you.
Yeah.
And I would have been like mad.
Remember me, chick, you guys were rude too from the diner?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's me. So
I had to fill up your iced tea. Like,
you better have some quick
cares?
Poetry here to get yourself out of this one, Args. Let's go.
Give me a limerick.
What do you got, fucker?
Yeah. So anyway, she they're just about to kiss. Her cell phone alarm goes off. And he says, do you have a curfew or something? Yes, we all do because we're underage. And then at midnight, they are announcing homecoming prince and princess. Prince Charming and Cinderella are the winners. So that's Chad Michael Murray and Hilary Duff. But here goes Hilary Duff. She is running. And as she is running... she tries to go get Carter because Carter's her ride. He's making out with Shelby, so she's like, come on.
Let's go.
You know, whatever.
This is the first action this kid's ever gotten. He would have been like, fuck you.
Yeah.
Leave me alone. Are you kidding me?
Well, like even in Seinfeld, when George got like a hint that he was going to get late, he's like, sorry. And Jerry goes, no sweat. We'll get a car ride.
This is the first chick he's ever made out with, and it's the girl he's been lusting after for years, and he's going to be like, oh, sorry, I got to get my friend a ride. He'd be like, you can walk, Hillary.
But by the way,
But
she doesn't know who he is because he is wearing a mask. Okay.
A Zorro mask that covers even less of him than Duff's mask still.
So while they are running, Hilary Duff's cell phone falls out from her shoe because she has it clipped on her shoe, and... Bada bing. Chad Michael Murray retrieves it and it's locked. So
of
he can't
course.
Get into it, obviously.
Password.
Okay. So now we have a comic car chase from Carter and Jennifer Coolidge.
Oh, God.
The girls are in the car and they're still in their cat outfit for some reason. And so they are
chasing
to make sure, because he doesn't want to drive the car too fast because he doesn't want to.
He's got his dad's old timey Mercedes,
and the girls are like, the twins are like, "Oh my God, we see Hilary Duff in there!" And then you know they put their.
That's what they say too. They're like, "Is that Hilary Duff in there?"
Yeah.
Oh weird. God, that's
her.
So strange.
McGuire.
Wow, is she in this movie?
So she's in this movie too.
Wow, cool.
Okay.
This is gonna do well, I think.
Yeah. I was in Mr. Nanny.
Yeah.
So they're having this comical chase, and you know, Jennifer Coolidge and the twins get there first, and they're asking everybody like, "Where is she?" And so they're all trying to distract her.
Yeah.
And then we see order up. You know, Hilary Duff's got flour all over her face, and she's wearing hats got flour all over it, and she's like, "Been here the whole time. Been learning how to cook some food,
making pancakes." She's up there like ladling pancake batter.
A Renaissance woman, Hilary Duff.
She is, and they're she like, "Yeah, she's been here." Things. And Paul Rodriguez is holding his giant salmon, going like, "Hey, I don't smell the fish, and the I don't sign, know what I'm doing." And hey,
yeah, the sign outside falls and hits Carter's car, which he's very upset about.
Yeah, because he's told his father brings up that he's totaled three cars bought him, and now this is his dad's like prized possession.
Yeah,
and he has now destroyed it.
He was trusted enough to drive the car, and then he ruined it.
Absolutely destroyed it.
The announcements girl. Okay, now we're at school the next day, and the announcements girl says that Austin Ames won homecoming prince, but who is this Cinderella?
Yeah.
Find out later. Like, you know, and Hilary Duff.
Ongoing narrative of them. Yeah. Hey, by the way, this is still our storyline.
Yeah.
All right, check in with me next scene.
Good morning, frogs and frogettes. Sorry, the traffic was...
The beginning of Act 3, and we're ready to find out just who is this Cinderella.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Traffic was busy today down the I-5.
Yeah. Battles will be coming in late this weekend. If you're going to get your surfing in, get it in Saturday because it's not going to happen Sunday, frogs and frogettes.
Make Rainfall. Sure you do all your homework. Otherwise, your teacher will put you in detention. Oh, this God. Morning's broadcast is brought to you by...
Fucking
Austin Ames'
poison.
Dad's Car Wash.
Yeah.
All right. So anyway...
the Argyle fucking kingdom.
Yeah. So the Hilary Duff and Carter are having a conversation about how there's no way that he's even going to remember this girl. He wanted to kiss her. She's like, "There's no, he's not even going to remember who I am."
Yeah.
It's only from a couple hours ago.
It's
so
right,
I don't really
happened.
Know what you're talking about, Hillary. But he's hit his head. He has no idea.
No.
And also, like, I was only wearing a mask over my eyes. It's not like, you know, he's going to remember who I was.
How
like,
could he? How could he know?
He's not going to see that I had blonde hair with bangs and... You know,
never.
Wow, your voice sounds familiar. So he put all these flyers up around the school with his phone number on it. And he's like, "Are you Cinderella?" So somehow he was able to get a graphic made that looks like in just a couple of hours.
He printed it up and
that
hundreds
takes a long
of copies.
Time to print that out. And then he also cut the
phone number things
the
like,
phone number
like
thing,
it's
like
a guitar lessons
thing.
On a fucking
I
bulletin
was like,
board.
Dang, did he not sleep?
No,
how did he do this? Because this is the next day.
It's Austin Argyle. He's deep. He's got deep thoughts. And while he's processing those, he makes cutouts.
Hilary Duff doesn't seem to notice that she doesn't have her cell phone. Okay,
never mentioned it.
Which is
it.
Weird because her stepmom blows up her phone on the daily.
Constantly.
She doesn't notice that her anxiety levels are way lower.
Major things in her life. Dead mother, missing cell phone, never mentioned
Chad Michael Murray is like, well, she kept getting these text messages that was like, "I need you. Get, you know, get me this or like whatever." And then he goes, "But then I heard fix for," and then I saw fix fryer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, well, if the phone's locked, then how did you see the text messages? And then second of all,
well,
like
they
fix
would come
the fryer,
up
wouldn't you be
previews.
Like, wow, diners have fryers.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, you would
and
think.
And also, do you trust a 17-year-old to fucking fix the fryer?
Apparently she does, but I would think someone else would have more experience with the fryer. But I don't know. Either way, he's not.
Yeah.
It's fucking Hilary Duff. You fucking talk to her.
You talked to her. You gave her a ticket to go to your car wash, Kingdom.
You saw her four times in one fucking day.
Yeah.
And then you're like, I just can't put it together who you are. What?
Yeah.
Why would she want to be with him still? Wouldn't she be like, "What? I thought he was a deep guy. He's a fucking moron.
Yeah.
I showed up with a fucking Zorro mask on, basically, and he couldn't fucking place me.
Even and he after said, you have such pretty minutes. Eyes. And it's like, hello.
Dipshit.
If I had such pretty eyes, you'd notice it without the mask,
Holy
too.
Holy fucking shit.
Anyway,
yeah.
There's a pool at the school, and the students can fucking
She's
lounge.
Not wearing a Darth Vader helmet, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
Sorry.
The fucking, the
pool at the school is like it's at a Vegas hotel.
Yeah,
it's like it's at the
want,
Palms or
they
something.
They want to lounge because Shelby and her friends are like wearing bikinis and they're sitting outside.
Out.
And yeah, it's like, what the fuck? This is not PE. You can't wear a bikini here.
Sure you can. We're going to the beach with this pool.
What a great school. I was
and
like,
it's
wow.
an Olympic swimming pool too with lanes and everything.
Yeah, the stepsisters are practicing their synchronized swimming.
Which they're awful at,
unsupervised.
By the way. Yeah.
So Carter is arguing with Hillary Duff, and he's like, so are you going to tell him who you are? And she's like, yeah, when you tell Shelby who you are, then I'll tell him. So he's, okay, he's going to go tell Shelby.
He's like, all right, I'm going to get it on.
So he goes, and he tells her, and she ends up pulling him aside and says that she drank a whole bottle of NyQuil and just
all
wasn't herself. So that's it. You know, he should not think of this being, you know, us making out as a real thing that happened.
No.
First of all... She would be dead or very sleepy.
Very sleepy. I don't think she would have made it to the dance that night.
So she just says, I'd like to go back to only copying off of your algebra homework.
That's it. And then, he's like, all right. Meanwhile.
So he's upset about it, but that's fine.
And then gets splashed.
Meanwhile, in the, you know, on the campus, whatever the fuck, the courtyard.
Yeah.
They are having a dating game kind of thing showing up where people who all think that they are Cinderella.
They're all saying, I'm Cinderella. Yeah.
And the one of the friends has a microphone and a radio. And
out
a
of
boombox
nowhere. He's
reason.
Got a PA set up out there with a corded
and he's
mic.
Playing.
Yeah. He's got
he's
music
playing that.
There.
He's got the music playing. He's got a microphone.
He's got index cards with all of their vital stats on them, too.
Yeah.
All these women. I'm like, what is happening?
They're not actually doing anything in school. But I guess they're the popular kids and they're football players. So I guess they don't have to do anything in school.
But I guess they have a lot of open periods.
He's upset about it. But it's, you know what I did think was nice that, you know, Chad Michael Murray did is he's like, listen, you're beautiful.
But
I'm not your Prince Charming. You'll meet him someday.
That was.
I was like, you know what?
Oh, no.
What a mensch. What a good guy, Chad.
You'll meet him someday, but I'm not him. That's what he says. Like, get
but
the
it's
fuck
not
out
me.
Of here.
Fuck out of here. Listen,
what are you
here.
Doing?
Buzz
You're
cut.
In high school, stupid.
Yeah.
What is going on?
Yuck. Jennifer Coolidge sees a letter from Princeton that Hillary Duff made it into Princeton, but she's going to hide it from her. The next day, so Chad Michael Murray is instant messaging Hillary Duff saying, please tell me who you are. And she's trying to figure out a response to him, but she just really can't. And then the stepsister asks her how the homework is going. How's my paper? You need to make sure that it sounds more like me. So
stupid.
Jennifer Coolidge calls for Hillary Duff and she leaves her chat window open. And James was very upset that she left the chat window open. And he's like, no,
obviously, her sisters are like fucking mean to her and all this. And she just leaves a chat window open to leave the room for a while. So get the fuck out of here. No.
Yeah.
Not happening.
So anyway, they find out that Hillary Duff is Cinderella. So they print out all the emails or the instant messages. And they are going to go to the car wash, the Argyle Kingdom, and they are going to pretend that they are Cinderella.
Yeah, we use the words.
But one of them obviously doesn't know that the other one is going to go do that. So they're practicing the words from the instant messages, which are pretty embarrassing. So I guess I can see why they're being embarrassed. But
the other thing too, I didn't notice is you could tell who someone is by how tall they are in comparison to you. So when the two sisters come up and they both say they're Cinderella and they're 8 inches in difference in height, you'd go, well, neither of you are actually because you're too tall and you're too fucking short.
Well, it doesn't matter because they're both trying to trick him and he's wise to this because he puts his hand. He crosses his arms and he looks at both of them and he
pops
like,
his Nike armband and he's like, listen, ladies.
Yeah. He's like, listen, Cinderella, when she ran away, she dropped something. What did she drop?
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, my wallet.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. But it doesn't matter because he knows he's smarter than them.
Yeah. He's like,
he knows that this is not his Cinderella.
Now, how could it be?
Yeah.
Jesus.
But anyway, Hillary Duff would not know what she dropped because she didn't even know that she dropped her fucking cell phone. She has
never
not
brought
once
it up anyway.
Brought up,
no.
Where the fuck is my cell phone?
I'd like to call you, but I lost my phone. None of that ever comes up.
She didn't gotten yelled at. Like, how come you're not texting me back from Fiona?
Answer
it's
me.
Just,
nope.
Nope. It's just.
Did she ever fix the fryer?
No.
We don't know.
Yeah. So now people don't get to have fried food.
Or it's going to be fried poorly.
Anyway, the stepsisters start fighting and they run into the car wash, which is super dangerous, and they would be dead in an instant. That's a big safety. OSHA would be all over Papa Argyle's ass.
Papa Argyle. Instead, they're just comedically hot waxed into having funny hair.
You know, and then they see like a little girl and she's like, Dad, is that our car?
And they're like fighting on the roof. And, yeah, it's goofy.
We're back to Hillary Duff working at the diner. Chad Michael Murray comes in and he sits at the bar, I guess.
The counter.
And he asks for a coffee. She greets him. Wouldn't he definitely recognize her voice by
now?
But nope. So he
orders
a coffee.
Smell.
Did you see how that mug like kept moving? I was like,
yeah,
oh,
the saucer was too small for the mug. So whoever, nice props. Jesus, this diner should be out of business.
Yeah.
Sorry, Hal, but
this is a successful diner and you can't fucking get a saucer that matches the mug.
Horseshit.
Fuck out of here. Anyway,
I don't like it.
She's just about to tell him that she is Cinderella, and then something happens, and Chad Michael Murray...
Fiona yells.
Oh, that's right.
She
yells
goes,
for whatever.
I'm Sam. And then she yells, Sam, get over here right now. And she's like, I have to go sell you to a...
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's not what happens.
Yeah, she says, I have to sell you into a slavery ring.
So then now the two stepsisters go to the popular girls at school, to Shelby, and they tell Shelby that... that it's Hillary Duff and she had planned it all along to try to take Chad Michael Murray away from you. And, you know, we're sorry you had to learn it this way, and gave her copies of all the emails. And and Shelby's like, thank you for bringing this to my attention. So then they hatched this terrible evil plan.
Oh, man, of course, the public carry outing we're going to be mean in public.
One of the stepsisters goes up to the announcements girl and she says, hey, Austin wants to have Cinderella come and meet him after the pep rally. And she's like, whatever.
This is like
Cinderella.
The same thing as John Tucker, right?
Yeah,
like
it's basically the same thing.
Same thing.
They're at the pep rally, and Austin Ames's dad is right behind him, and he's like, just got to phone this guy. The game on Friday, as long as it goes well, you're set.
You're set.
You're
I love
set.
To. Yeah,
whose future is set.
Whose parents go to pep rallies? It's
well,
like at the
like,
school. What do you?
He is wow. I mean, poor Chad Michael Murray, because they're like, they're doing the Grease thing where they're like, who are we gonna beat? And then they say, you know, whatever that team name is.
Oh shit!
When
bags.
Are we gonna beat them? Friday.
Yeah.
And then they're like, and who's gonna lead us to victory? Austin. Like everybody's like Austin, but not like the rest of the football team. And the rest of the football team
all
is
suck.
Fine with that.
Oh, they're into it. Yeah, he's
they're
the quarterback,
like, that's
man.
Cool. He's the quarterback. But
he's
everybody
clearly,
loves Austin Ames and he's wonderful.
They've just decided to bow to his greatness.
Yep.
That's all there is to it. He's great and they're not.
At the pep rally, the cheerleaders were able to, in like an hour, they were able to coordinate like a whole play.
Oh, yeah, with
Once
multiple
upon
characters.
Time, there was a frog, and it was a very beautiful frog. And this frog dumped his very hot girlfriend and whatever because he wants to be a writer at Princeton instead of USC, which I don't know why you can't be a writer at USC, but that's fine. And Chad Michael Murray is very embarrassed.
No creative programs at USC whatsoever, by the way. They
only
don't
football.
Exist. Only football.
Okay, so then they're like, oh my God, this is so embarrassing. And the diner girl the diner girl goes to your school, so like, and she doesn't look as she doesn't look poor. Like, she looks fine.
She
looks like everybody else.
Looks like normal.
And Chad Michael Murray is a little bit upset because now Shelby is being a little rude and exposed that he wants to be a writer in front of his dad.
Yeah, I don't want to go to Princeton. I want to go to Princeton, not USC.
Hillary Duff is crying because everybody is, you know,
chanting
diner girl.
Yeah. Like, they're all chanting diner girl at her.
Okay, whatever, right?
Yeah.
And they're treating her like she's an outcast, which I was kind of a little bit upset about. I was disappointed in the frogs and froggets. And Chad Michael Murray seems to be pretty chuffed up, but he's hesitant. He's trying to write to Hillary Duff. Like, he keeps typing, Dear Sam, backspace. It's like, okay, come on, just yeah,
just go to the diner and talk to
just
her.
Just go
know
to
where
the diner.
Is.
You know where she works
yeah,
now.
Get the fuck out.
But Hillary Duff
yourself.
Is roller skating and she's fallen over and she's really embarrassing herself and she has all but given up. She has resigned herself to being diner girl for the rest of her life. And Rhonda is arguing with her like, no, you need to.
Don't be diner girl.
Just be Hillary Duff. Like, you're pretty great. And your dad wouldn't want you to be like this and da 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 da. The Elvis guitar on the wall falls down, reveals the quote when it was Hal's diner. And it says,
don't be afraid to strike out and not play the, don't, whatever the fuck. Don't allow the fear of striking out make you not play the game or shit. Yeah. Don't be a pussy is what it says.
She's decided that that's all she needed. So what she does is she tells her stepmom no. She tells Jennifer Coolidge no. She says, I quit my job. I quit your family. I quit and I'm moving out.
Fuck you, bitch.
You can mess with your hair. You can mess with your makeup and your face, but you can't mess with my dad's diner, and you can't mess with me.
Boom.
Boom. Okay? Rhonda offers for Hillary Duff to live at her house because she's wonderful.
She's like, you're going to live with me.
She reads Jennifer Coolidge's The Riot Act. Everyone quits and walks out.
With taking her earrings off. Yep. In a beginning of fucking her up.
Confronts her, yeah.
And scares the shit out of Fiona.
I'm upset that she didn't marry Hillary Duff's dad, but that's fine.
That's fine. Don't know what their relationship was. They could have just been friends and it would have been weird. We don't know.
Maybe it just didn't work out. They had respect.
Maybe that's why she had that dress.
But
he couldn't marry her because she just reminded her too much of his first wife and they had the same qualities and it was so sad. But then Fiona's a completely different person, so he could get with her. That's the backstory of Hal.
Tonight is a big game. Hillary Duff just quit her job and she quit her family and she quit everything. And so she walks into the boys' locker room where nobody is nude, thank God. But she's not afraid anymore. She's not afraid anymore because a quote, the fear of striking out doesn't intimidate her.
Mm-hmm.
So she goes and reads Chad Michael Murray, The Riot Act.
Yeah.
Unnecessarily, because it's only been 24 hours. And he wasn't like mad or disgusted that it was her. He was mostly mad because his dad found out that he wants to write.
He was a little confused about it. Yeah.
What's the big deal? Yeah. Why couldn't you tell me who you were?
I didn't get what the motivation was for anybody's feelings here. That's the weird part.
She still doesn't care about her phone. She yells at Chad Michael Murray. She says that she believes in herself and that I have no family. I have no job. I have no money for college. But I feel sorry. I feel the most sorry for you. She tells him that she can't wait for I can't wait for you to be who you are in those emails because waiting for you is like waiting for rain in this drought. Useless and disappointing.
Please.
That's pretty harsh because not much has transpired. It's not like he ignored her for 3 months and then was like, ew, what a loser. She likes me. Gross. He wasn't embarrassing her further. He just didn't say anything yet.
And then she went from this traumatic experience with him to letting her friend talk her into going to the football game that he's the main fucking player.
So Carter says, oh my God, I talked to Rhonda because he ran up to school and he says, I talked to Rhonda. She told me what happened. I thought you could use a friend. So he says that he wants to watch the game. She says, like, I don't know if I can handle it, but you know what? I'm going to try because don't let the fear of striking out cause you
keep
to not
you
play
or,
the game.
Yeah.
So she says to him, I like what you're wearing. Which character are you today? And he says, myself. Wow. I think it's your best look.
Best look yet.
It's game time, bitch. Emotional music is playing. Will Chad Michael Murray finish the game? And will he lead the Frogs to victory?
Who cares?
This game is packed only on one side. The other bleachers are not full at all. 9 seconds left. One touchdown to win. Can he do it? Can Chad Michael Murray rise to the occasion?
Everything's on the line. His dad's on the sideline. His dad's on the sidelines.
Everyone's chanting, by the coach, too.
Right next to him. Yeah.
And he's not even like... Yeah, and they're all chanting, Austin, Austin, Austin. Hillary Duff says, I thought I could handle it, but now I can't because everyone's chanting. And Chad Michael Murray sees that Hillary Duff is leaving, and so now he can't do this game anymore. He says, sorry, boys. And then
keep in mind, there is
off one
play left in the game.
Yeah.
And he's like, nope, don't have 9 seconds, actually.
Have 9 seconds, don't want to waste.
Doesn't even
seconds.
Call a TO either. He just walks off the field. No timeout called, just...
takes off. Reckless abandon. He runs off the field, and you're like, Jesus Christ, like, I get it ruining your future, but now you're ruining the rest of the guy's
future. Fucking up everybody's
game.
They worked hard all season.
The nice thing is that he did tell one of his lackeys, like, you go do it.
The backup quarterback.
Yeah. You go out there, you fucking, you know.
Knock yourself out, kid.
But the coach didn't say, like, hey, anybody who's the quarterback that wins will get to go to USC. So, you know what I mean? Like,
no,
I don't get what that is, but
not.
That's fine. So he...
He just gets glory.
Runs up to the bleachers, and he runs into Hillary Duff there, and she's like, Austin, what are you doing? And he's like, something I should have done a long time ago.
Boy, he's all sweaty.
Yeah, like 24 hours. This is just still 24 hours. He's all sweaty and gross. Everyone's cheering for... Oh, so then he kisses her. And as he kisses her, everyone is cheering because everyone cheers for everything that Austin does.
Yeah.
Even just, you know, breathing.
Yeah.
So he is making out with Hillary Duff. And as they're kissing, a raindrop falls and hits him on the cheek. And now it's pouring. Everybody's cheering. Game. The Frogs win the game.
Oh, yeah. His backup, Doug, does a quarterback sneak for the win.
And he's like, and he goes... Sorry, you had to wait for it to rain because she just told him.
Yeah.
That waiting for him is like waiting for rain.
Mm-hmm.
So,
it? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Oh, I got
it. So,
I got plenty of it.
She is packing up all of her stuff because she's going to be moving to, she finds out that she got accepted to Princeton, actually.
Yeah, because her stepmother hit her acceptance letter.
And also wrote her a fake rejection letter.
Fake,
I forgot to bring that up.
Yeah,
but anyway.
Yeah.
So, it turns out she's going to go to Princeton. Lovely.
Mm-hmm.
And she is packing up all of her
and
stuff.
And so is he.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
And her, in her fairy tale book, what falls out of the fairy tale book is her father's will. Thank God, because I was about to be like, wow, Hal, way
to
go.
Yeah, you're fucking nice, irresponsible shit, Hal.
Yeah. So it turns out that she owns anything and everything that Jennifer Coolidge owns. So she restores the diner back to its original glory.
Yeah,
that
she sells
had to have been
her
so
Jaguar.
Expensive to do. She sells the Jaguar. She makes Rhonda the partner of the diner.
And Fiona's in legal trouble because Fiona was one of the witnesses to the will, yet she hid the will and basically embezzled the money. So now the district attorney's made a deal that she can work off her debt. It's scrubbing the diner floors.
Yeah, so she can scrub the diner floors, and so can the stepsisters. Carter scored.
They fall down at the end, bumping into each other on roller skates. Yeah, it's fucking so stupid.
Or like the banana peel thing.
Yeah,
like,
very Roadrunner at that point.
Carter scored some acne ads, and he gets to go out with the announcements girl, who seems to be gainfully employed at the high school at this point.
Absolutely.
Hillary Duff and Chad Michael Murray drive off in the convertible Mustang. He puts the cell phone back in her shoe, even though that's not really like a normal, it's like, supposed to be like a Cinderella
it's
thing.
It's a Cinderella thing.
But it's just really stupid.
Yeah. You can tell as actors, he was like, we're filming this now, so I'm just putting it like in her shoe.
But I wouldn't put it on her laces. That's weird.
But they're like, do it like Cinderella, like hold her foot like they do with Cinderella. He's like, yeah, but it's a fucking shoe and she's sitting on the hood of a car. Whatever, dude. Yeah. Let's get it over with.
So he gives her her phone back finally. This is like, I think, 48 hours later.
She has never asked for it, by the way.
Yeah,
never
she's
brought
like,
it up.
She wasn't like, holy shit, there's my
there
phone.
There it is.
And then they drive off in the convertible Mustang, which I had a question, James.
Hmm.
So they're packing up to go to Princeton.
Hmm.
Why wouldn't they drive the G-Wagon?
Because the convertible is more...
That one has more room for their luggage.
It does.
And it's more comfortable.
But more movies end with convertibles driving into the sunset.
And they have to make a cross-country road trip.
Which is romantic in a convertible over into the sun. It's stupid. That's why, because this movie sucks. That's why.
The Ford Mustang probably doesn't have good gas mileage.
It blows shit.
Sense.
That's why.
Doesn't make sense.
There.
Anyway, that's it.
It sucks.
Drove off. That's the end.
Thank fuck it for that. Good Lord. And then I was left to collect my thoughts and want to fucking injure myself.
Well, if you'd like to collect your thoughts and donate them to the Heiglmeter, James, I think that that's where we will go now.
To the Heiglmeter!
The Heiglmeter is our unit of measurement. It is how we rate our movies on a scale of 1 Heigl to 5 Heigls, 5 Heigls being the worst movie you've ever seen, most punishing, and 1 not that bad.
Not that bad.
James, I went last week, so you
okay.
go first.
Well, I have a weird formula, and I have to explain it to you.
I would expect nothing less.
I would say, well, first, let me just give an explanation.
Okay.
Because I have, some movies are made for children, mm-hmm. and some movies are made seemingly by children.
Right.
This is seems to be both.
Right.
It was made by children, for children. It's a vehicle for a singer slash actress who can neither sing nor act.
How dare you?
Which is hurtful for me as a viewer. Shitty characters, the fairy tale equivalency, which is just fucking lazy. And it's just so fucking bad. It has the gravity of a Pauly Shore film.
Yeah.
It is as appealing as a grilled cheese sandwich that's been run over by a garbage truck. I give it 50,340 heigels, the cost of a year's tuition at Princeton University,
right,
where both of these people are going.
Very good.
So there. Fuck you, Hillary Duff.
I like that formula.
And oh, and there one more thing. Duff spelled backwards is FUD. So there's that. Your turn. Sorry. Just so you guys know. Just remember that next time.
Okay. I am going to give it a good old-fashioned 5 heigels.
Oh, wow. I thought you'd like this one for some reason.
Just because I am going to say that this movie is just like Wishing for the Rain. It's useless and disappointing.
Fair enough, I would say.
But it's also wonderful.
No, it's not.
It's wonderful.
It's a pile of shit.
It's a pile of shit. You love it.
It's not
enjoyable.
Everybody loves
it. It's punishing. So enjoyable.
No. If I wasn't very stoned, I wouldn't have got through it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And if you thought that this movie or that this podcast was enjoyable, please follow us on social media. We're Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram.com/YouGotHeigled, YouGotHeigld. And then rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. 5 stars if you enjoyed the show.
It helps the show a lot to do that. So get your asses in there and do it. I had to suffer through a fucking Hillary Duff movie. You can goddamn get on Apple Podcasts for 5 seconds.
Well, first of all, we watched Romeo and Juliet when we didn't have...
That's what I mean.
We watch a lot of bad movies.
You don't even know this. We do suffering behind the scenes that you don't even know about.
We
so.
Will just challenge ourselves to do that. But anyway, rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. If you didn't like the show or if you don't like what us... I don't care.
Just shut up and keep it to yourself.
Keep it to yourself.
If you listen this long, you know what? You kind of liked it.
Yeah,
because no one's listened to anything for an hour and a half they don't like. So if you're listening now, it means you enjoyed the show. Go rate and review.
Yeah, and shut up.
And thank you for doing that.
Leave everybody alone. Yeah, and thank you.
We appreciate it.
Yeah, appreciate it. Keep your attitude to yourself. Okay, anyway. And then like we said, we do bonus episodes every other week on Patreon. Patreon.com/YouGotHeigled. YouGotHeigld. We talk 90 Day Fiancé. We play games like Plotsy and make your own rom-com.
Oh, yeah.
And then next week, we're going to do relationship advice. So email us, YouGotHeigled@gmail.com, or hit us up on social media. And if you have like a crazy, weird, romantic entanglement or something that you got going on, we will get to the bottom of it. So we'll do that next week. So submit, you know, write us stories or whatever you want to do.
Whatever it is.
That's patreon.com/YouGotHeigled. Our PayPal, if you just want to be a nice person, is YouGotHeigled@gmail.com. We have merch as well.
Yes, we do.
HeigelYourself.threadless.com. Heigel, H-E-I-G-L, yourself.threadless.com. We have some shirts up there. I know I have to make more of them. I'm updating the I'm Abroad image. It's cute, but I just used some free stock image that I could use and just put something out because I wanted to make an I'm Abroad shirt, but I'm really excited about the new design.
Awesome.
Dame Studio is making it, Maddie. She's so awesome. I have really loved working with her. But if you like me, I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Sarah H is Funny, S-A-R-A-H-H is Funny. And I wrote 2 books. They're on Amazon. I don't want to talk about it anymore because I just don't want to hear myself speak. So, James, go ahead.
I don't know. Follow me on social media. I'm at Jimmy P is Funny.
Where
if you feel like doing
you.
That. Probably not, but I'm very busy. I'm doing shows like Crime and Sports and Small Town Murder, which you can listen to every Tuesday and Thursday, respectively, wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you so much for hanging out with us here.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. We appreciate it. Who else? What else do we have here?
Well, we have our Patreon.
That's right. That's what I'm saying.
We have some new people.
Who we got?
Andy Reynolds. We have Amy Spicer. Thank you, Amy.
Thanks, Amy.
Reagan. De Herm de Bleu.
Oh, that's... unlikely, probably.
It's a good one. Polly S. Duddy, Amanda Maldonado, Shauna, no last name, Tabor DeRoyne, Megan Bonds.
Tape up your groin? What was that one?
No, Tabor DeRoyne.
Oh, gee, I swear I didn't hear that right. Okay.
Megan Bonstetter, Smitten Swallow, they upped their patronage.
Oh, wow. Well, thank you.
Joshua Vincent Cruz, Jessica Gilkins, Madeline Evarts, Jewel Broms, Valerie Lee, Jenny Sue, and Sarah Jane. My grandma calls me Sarah Jane.
Nice.
Anyway, thank you guys so much. We love you guys. You guys are really awesome. And you make me feel bad for saying it every week, but go Heigl yourself.
I don't feel bad at all. Go Heigl yourselves, everybody.
Of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.